Basketball Podcast, Pick Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. I've got Matt Moore, new owner, brand new owner of the Sacramento Kings, Matt Moore. You bought the team last night, correct?
Yeah, with like pocket change.
Yeah, it's just a mere $525 million. Well, actually $340 million, but who's counting?
I have so much vitriol. I'm just teeming with vitriol right now because, and everyone's like, yeah, but you knew it was coming. I'm like, it doesn't change that. Look, the Maloofs are horrible owners and bad businessmen, and they made $340 million yesterday.
Right.
$340 million. What is wrong with this entire setup?
Well, depending on how the owner, the deals of the sale go, it's very possible that $175 to $200 million of that is going to go straight to the NBA in the city of Sacramento. So there's, and you know, that should leave them with, I don't know, maybe $140 million. And if that happens, I'm sure that it'll be gone by the end of the weekend. Knowing them, they'll have invested in like Sacramento Kings gear, like just to exclusively sell Sacramento Kings gear as like a parting gift to fans. And they'll lose all their money that way.
There's always money in the banana stand, unless the Blues own it.
That's what I imagine, like the call from the Maloofs to the Hansen Group, where we're having a fire sale.
Yeah. Oh, references to shows that aren't on CBS.
But should be, because CBS has the best programming.
Nice. You know, Greg Wissinger of Sacktown Royalty had a really great idea, which is actually what I want to happen now, which is the NBA approves the sale but rejects the relocation bid.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
So the Hansons get the team, but they have to keep it in Sacramento. And all their dreams of the big fancy new arena are gone.
I don't know. I was looking at pictures of the arena last night. It looks cool. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's great, gigantic, beautiful, flaming middle finger to the entire city of Sacramento. It's amazing.
Oh,
you know, it's bad because it's like I dislike Chris Hansen now. I've got no reason to. Like, he just wants to get a team for the city that he likes and wants to give the Sonics back and need a team and knew they weren't going to do expansion. But I'm just like one. He put the statement. It's funny this morning. There's a statement on SonicsArena.com saying we can't discuss. We're not at liberty to discuss our plans for the franchise. On SonicsArena.com.
Well, you know. You don't know where they're putting Sonics Arena.
But they didn't lie about it, so it's totally fine.
Well, all right, here's the thing. I don't, aside from a couple of people on Twitter, for the most part, I'm not really getting a sense of, like, there's so many words I want to use that I'm not allowed to. I'm not getting like a sense of gloating out of Sonics fan, future Sonics fans, previous and future Sonics fans right now. And Seattle should be happy that they're going to get a team. How they got it isn't great, but they
isn't great.
I mean, it's not great.
It's the exact same thing they've been complaining about for 4 years.
It's not the exact same thing.
It's the exact same thing.
It's really
the exact same situation. If I walk up to you,
no, really not.
If I walk up to you and I say, I'm going to punch you in the face and rob you, are you going to be like, at least you said that, at least you were honest with me?
No, I'm not. There's been no. It can be equally as bad and not the same. There's never been a hint of the Hansen Group is going to buy the team and think about seeing if they can keep it in Sacramento. There's never been a lie about that, like there was with the Sonic situation. So
again, though, I don't care. Like,
right, but you can't vilify a city for rooting for a team that is brought to their city. Like the city,
I'm not vilifying them for that. I am saying that the first and foremost thing that everyone needs to do is say this sucks. That's the first
thing. Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I think it's horrible. I have friends in the Kings organization that are most likely going to lose their jobs, which I'm sure the Maloofs have made sure that they'll all get big severance packages or the opportunity to move with the team. I'm sure that was a part of the deal. That's probably what they've been hammering out, because the Maloofs, you know, they believe in customer first and taking care of their employees. That's what their dad taught them.
Yeah,
that's on kings.com. That's on their bios in the website. So you know it's true if they said it.
Everyone today is like, why are you angry at the fans? Why aren't you angry at the Maloofs? No. Like, it's honestly safer for me to kind of delve out this anger towards various other parties, including the NBA, including our acceptance of this crap, including the media. That's all it's going to do is say, woohoo, the big fancy city got a team back, woo! Instead of talking about Sacramento, which is the real story here, I have enough hatred to go around here, Zach. I have enough hatred. But first and foremost, the fact that the Maloofs are going to maintain – there's a report from ESPN that the Maloofs are going to maintain a small share of ownership.
That's hilarious.
This is unacceptable.
That's hilarious.
It is unacceptable.
That's really – I mean, you would think that the Sonics would want to try to be successful. I don't know if they've looked at the former businesses of the Maloofs right now, but not exactly a Fortune 500 company.
Here's what I think is also interesting, though. We don't know what kind of owner Hansen's going to be.
I feel like he'll. It would be hard for me to believe that he's going to be bad. And not that the NBA doesn't bring in bad owners or anything, but it's just. I think that they've certainly learned from past mistakes, and to put up that kind of money, you have to know to put the right people. And you know, there are rumors of R.C. Buford or Larry Bird. Like, those are the people to go after. So if those are the rumors of the people they're going after, I don't know. It's safe to assume they're going to be good owners right away. I mean, they have a mess to clean up with the team, but it probably won't take that long to clean it up if they can get the right people.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I just think it's...
Here's the thing. I'm not mad at Hansen. He did what he's supposed to do, and I'm not mad at Seattle. I am mad strictly at the Maloofs right now. And then anybody that gloats about it, like, I'm mad at them, but this, like, all of my hatred goes to the Maloofs right now because they're incompetent businessmen who... You know, they will have prospered for, I don't know, they'll probably be able to extend their lifestyle for another couple of years, but they're going to be broke by the end of the decade for sure. I mean, this is not a competent bunch. They're all essentially me at 20 years old with low rent and a decent paycheck going to Best Buy and going, oh, what can I buy now? Like, not thinking of saving money or putting anything away. Like, they are just incompetent people that don't know how to spend money.
If you're listening within the sound of my voice, please go to SBNation.com and search for Tom Ziller. You can find out Sack Time Royalty as well. He wrote an op-ed, an open letter to the Maloofs, and that's what you need to read. That
it's really good, and this isn't going to get us in trouble. The Maloofs are liars. They're absolute liars. When you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, when you say you're not going to do something and then you do it, you have lied. So they are officially liars. Like, they lied about selling the team. They lied about making sure the team doesn't relocate. They've lied about all of this stuff. They are liars and horrible businessmen.
And I'll be, I'm going to start this. I'm going to keep talking about it until with the relocation. But the NBA needs to reject the bid. If Sacramento is able to find a buyer, they need to reject the bid. And if you're going to say, how are you going to do that? The answer is the NBA has not only a right, but an obligation to try and protect itself in terms of its relationships with cities, okay?
Yes.
Like, you want it to have good relationships with cities. What this is doing is saying, no matter what you do as a city government, we will not help you. No matter how hard you work, no matter how far out you reach to help us, we're not going to reward that. We're going to screw you over. That's what they're saying to Kevin Johnson right now, and they're saying that to every single mayor a mayor of a city that an NBA team operates in.
Yeah, it's funny, like, I am interested to see how this process is going to go, because they've told Mayor Kevin Johnson that he is going to get a chance at the Board of Governors meeting. Like, Sacramento will get a chance to present their case, but there's a process of approving the sale and approving relocation and all this stuff, and I don't know, we're getting into some sort of like unprecedented territory. With the NBA, and it is actually very interesting to see how this is going to play out.
Because it's hard, because traditionally this is the standard operating procedure. Like, this would only happen if the city was just like, well, okay, whatever, leave. And then the owners would support them, because they'd be like, well, if I want to move my team, I need your help, so I'm going to back you. And that's how this works. That's why what happened last year was so phenomenal. The NBA rejected an owner's request to do something with their own team.
Right.
They never do that.
Never.
They never go against their own because they want that protection. But they literally were like, no, Sacramento's done all this. Are you high? This is not a good business plan. What's wrong with you?
Not only that, but they came in and took over operation of the team for a short amount of time. Like that actually happened, whether that's on the record or off the record, like that happened. They kind of took over the team for a short amount of time.
And then in the middle of all this, David Stern is negotiating the deal.
Yeah.
You know, and this looks bad. And I mean, this is a big thing. Stern needs to fix this. He really does need to block the hell out of this. He's got, and everybody's like, he works for the owners. Well, guess what? Look, he's got responsibility as the head of the NBA, not just as a representative of the owners. Because the owners make up the teams, make up the league. The NBA is an independent entity. They're an independent entity. They're an independent business entity. Two, he's got enough political clout to where he's able to pull guys. And we saw that during the lockout.
Yeah.
Like, he has the political clout. And if he's got it, he needs to wield it here. And
well,
here's
the problem, though, with that, is you have political clout to pull guys from the ownerships when it means they're making more money. The thing is if they reject this bid, I mean, in a way, like, you can put more money in the Sacramento offer because there aren't relocation fees. That, you know, they could forgive the debt of the, you know, owed to the NBA, whatever. Like, there are things that the NBA can play around with to keep the team in Sacramento. However, if the deal makes it better, if the Hansen deal makes it better for the NBA in terms of valuing franchises and setting the price later down the road, that's the only, like, that's all that's going to matter to the owners. It's not going to be, oh, we're doing the right thing here. It's going to be, oh, this makes me more money if the team goes to Seattle, because ultimately that's how you get the owners to agree to stuff. Is this will make you more money?
This is what's messed up. It's like we have all this interest in protecting the owners while they're the owners, and all they're interested in is raising the money so when they sell their team to not be a member of the NBA. Like, oh God, this entire situation is so phenomenally stupid and screwed up. It is just. It makes me livid that we're doing this, and then everyone's to be like, woohoo, where's my Sean Kemp throwback jersey? Woohoo, where's my Gary Payton bobblehead? Woohoo, it's disgusting.
If Gary Payton becomes a color commentator for their local broadcast, we all win.
That's true. I love Gary Payton. I love those Sonics teams. That was part of the teams that I grew up loving. I was rooting for him against Jordan. But, God, like, I just cannot believe...
No, it sucks. I mean, it sucks for Sacramento, and obviously, with the Maloofs, you never trust that a deal is done until it's done. Even though even with them submitting the sale to the NBA, and things could fall apart, but it looks like a bad uphill battle that is not going to be winnable. I mean,
Sacramento's never going to get a team back.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that. They might. Although you might just be killing NBA fandom in this city.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they wouldn't want a team back after this. They would want their team.
And I mean, honestly, this is a serious question. If you're a respective NBA city, let's say there's a huge boom in both talent, because everyone's like, oh, you're deluded, which I think is crap. I think if you put more money into development, the talent's going to be fine. But let's say that like we have this boom of talent. We just have talent splurging everywhere, and everyone's got like 17 All-Stars. And then there's also like an economic boom, and there's room for expansion, okay? What city's really going to be like, if I was a mayor of an NBA city, I'd be like, I can't trust you. Kevin Johnson did everything possible. This small market put everything together, fixed its financing, put all this to put together this great deal for you, went out on the limb, and you screwed them. You shook on a deal and then allowed them to renege and run out. I don't trust you. I don't want to do it. I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Right, but why does Las Vegas exist? Why are there casinos? Why are all casinos wildly profitable except for, you know, the Palms, which were once owned by the Maloofs? Shocker. It's because people are willing to gamble and say, oh, those people lost their money. That's not going to happen to me. I know what I'm doing. And ideally, what you're saying about not trusting the league is going to work, but there's a certain celebrity factor involved in bringing a NBA team to your city and blah, blah, blah. And you know, people are always going to gamble. I feel like if you can afford the public funds to build an arena, people are always going to gamble.
I said this last night because I mean, Sonics fans are really talking. They're like, I can't wait for the first game we play against the Thunder. I think this is the funniest thing of all. I think that's the funniest thing. We're going to boo you. We're going to beat you, team that was stolen from us. And we're going to beat you with a team that we stole from those other guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's life in the NBA, right? It just sucks. Like, I don't know. I just have a hard time. I have a hard time being mad at Seattle right now.
I'm not mad at Seattle. I'm just...
Right, but I mean, you're kind of mad at them, like, wanting to be fans again.
I'm not mad at them wanting to be fans again. I'm mad at the fact that I really honestly, I do feel like there is an obligation to be like, I went through this. I know what these guys are going through. I don't want that to happen to them. I don't want anybody to have to go through what I went through. Let's get a team under better circumstances.
Sure.
There are teams in the NBA that would move and would not be missed. And you and I both know that.
Lakers.
If Charlotte moves, there's going to be a fair amount of people.
Until the first Duke North Carolina game.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like this. Charlotte, I honestly don't think Charlotte would go through what Sacramento's gone through to try and keep their team.
Yeah, and I honestly I don't know enough about the area and the economics and the fan base to. I mean, I know a lot about the Sacramento situation because I'm from Sacramento. I know very little about the support around the Bobcats. I know there's one guy over the years who has consistently like hated me for thinking they suck.
Or hell, like even the Bucks. Like I've talked to a lot of really hardcore Bucks fans who are like, honestly, life would go on. Like we have the Packers, that's fine.
Yeah.
And it's just a different kind of attitude versus like that's one of the things that kills me is I'm like, you don't understand, like this city won an NBA team badly, got it, really supported it, has done everything possible. And, you know, like I said, for Seattle, it's not that like, opening night, go crazy. They're going to be a great fan base. I'm excited to visit the city. I'm excited to visit the new arena. It'll be fun. But, one, don't pretend like this is any different. It's not. They stole a team from you. You stole a team from somebody else. You're doing the exact same thing. It is no different. You want to feel like it's different so you don't have to deal with the guilt. But it's not. It's the exact same. You're not responsible for it.
I don't know. I have a hard time with the exact same. I have a hard time with the word steal. I don't know that they're stealing a team. Like I think that is that's an extreme way of putting it. At the same time, it doesn't make the situation any better. I just don't know if that's the right way to phrase it. Maybe I'm just playing semantics here. I don't know.
Oh no! I mean, like a lot of it comes down to a lot of philosophies that go a lot beyond, and part of this is dangerous because it goes beyond stuff that we feel just about sports and it goes sure. into how we look at life. And you know, I had a good conversation with Network yesterday, one of a great Twitter follower. If you should NETW3RK, and you know, it's basically people are like, well, this is business. I'm like, I understand how business works. I've owned a small business in my life. Like, I understand how these things operate. I'm not oblivious to the cold reality.
You were the power balance bracelet guy?
Yeah, I am. It's a surprise.
I had no idea. No wonder you're mad at the Maloofs.
I am mad at the Snuggie, actually. but just because the world is a certain way, if we all recognize this is terrible, we have an obligation to be like, why are we doing this? If we all think this is terrible, why do we allow this? Why do we just go, that's the way it is? Because it makes us feel better to be like, I'm above it, and I'm able to accept the harsh realities of the world. I'm able to accept the harsh realities of the world while still being like, we shouldn't accept this.
Yeah. I mean,
we should not accept this under any circumstances.
I mean, the only way that you really put your foot down is by not watching the NBA anymore, right? Not writing about it, not supporting it, not watching it. And no one's willing to do that.
Right.
This is why the NBA wins, because they know that they'll probably lose quite a few people in Sacramento, but
I'm not really noble by being like, well, I'm going to watch, but I'm going to rail against them in my blogs and columns.
Right.
No, like, I'm a slave to them.
Right.
But does it change the fact that I'm still going to sit here and I'm going to say this is not right, and everyone's first thought should not be, woohoo, it should be this sucks.
I don't know. I honestly
sucks.
I honestly haven't gotten that, again, other than a couple of Seattle people on Twitter. Like, I really haven't gotten the sense that people are happy about this. I mean, maybe I'm just not following the same people you are. You do follow a lot more people than I do, but I feel like it's been pretty like, ugh, Sacramento got screwed here. I mean, once the next season starts and they're in Seattle, I think people will celebrate it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just not paying attention.
I think it'll be interesting to watch the media narrative, because I think one thing, like, the media is having a hard time with this because they flipped out over Seattle. Just yeah. Flipped out. And a lot of that, to be, in my opinion, is it's market. Like,
sure.
Just people protect big market.
Seattle's an awesome city.
Right. And so, like, people, like, really protect. And so now, and they're like, this is not fair. You can't do this. And now they're like, yes, Seattle's been avenged by doing the same thing to someone else. And it's awkward. There's this awkwardness about, I really want to say, oh, good. The city that I said needed a team back got one. But they killed a city that actually fought a lot harder than Seattle did.
Yeah, that's something I don't know.
Nobody really wants to talk about because it makes everybody uncomfortable.
Well, the situation,
especially afterwards, like the efforts made by the people in Seattle have been phenomenal.
The situation's a lot different, though.
How?
Because they financed two gigantic stadiums within the previous years, and we're not in a financial situation to finance a third.
That was their choice. You get to make.
No, that's
choose.
No, that's
they said.
That's an economic thing.
Oh, we love football. Those Seahawks. Go Seahawks. Well, guess what? There's a cost to that.
No, that's an that is an economic situation of not choice. But, I mean, you don't screw over your schools and your roads and stuff just to put in another arena. Like, that was just bad timing by them and good timing by Clay Bennett. Like, I don't think that
Seattle arena was modest in its makeover. I'm sure that they couldn't have.
That's really not fair. Like, that's to say that they didn't fight, they chose not to fight is ridiculous.
No, I'm not saying they didn't choose not to fight. My point is not that at all. Very clearly. I mean,
Sacramento.
If you watch Sonics Gate, like, you know how much the fans have really tried to fight this.
Sacramento has had a AAA baseball stadium to finance, and that's it in the last 10 years. And because of that, I think they were able to figure out how to put together the funding and get the support for it. If they had had with the economy in Sacramento, if they had had a baseball stadium and a football stadium within the last decade to do, there's no way they would have been able to find the money for this. There's just not. Like, that's a huge different situation.
That's a fair point.
Maybe they could have figured it out. Maybe Ron Burkle would have come in and saved the day. I don't know. But I don't think that. I mean, Sacramento fought, and it shouldn't be a let's compare how they fought. Like, Sacramento fought, Seattle fought. Sacramento theoretically won, but now they've lost.
Well, I think the reason that this conversation starts getting brought up is because there is an idea, there is a statement of, well, but look at everything Seattle did, or look at the situation with Seattle, or, like, everyone wants to shift it away from what's going on in Sacramento. Not everyone. The people that we're talking about in this situation.
Sure.
That's the kind of the discussion point. And that's why I'm always like, well, no, like, look, seriously, we need to focus on what Sacramento's done here because it's been incredible.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Part of it, honestly, with me, I didn't expect it. I thought Sacramento would be like, what are we going to do? We're a small market. We can't put together the money. We can't afford this. What are we going to do? And instead, like...
Especially with such a short clock to do it. I mean, they had 10 months.
And Mayor Johnson did all this and put everything together with duct tape. And he figured this out, and the fans rallied, and the fans have been phenomenal in terms of their efforts.
He's been clutch. He's been getting stops.
He's been the
72 U.S. men's basketball team getting stops, and the refs just keep putting more time back on the clock against him. What I'm saying is the Maloofs are acting like the Soviet Russians. I don't know if that's...
I want to be very clear on this. Like, Seattle is way down my list of people I'm angry at. I'm angry at Stern for not just booting their asses out of the league years ago. Like, that's what should have happened. When it was clear what they were doing, he should have been like... He should have exerted the pressure. Everyone was like, he can't because... No, you can exert pressure to get an owner out. It's happened before. It'll happen again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You have to... You're dealing with George Maloof at 3 a.m. in the morning, you know? Plenty of police officers can probably attest to that.
Moving on. Alvin Gentry got fired.
He did. It was a mutual fire. They mutually broke up.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like one of those, though, with all the comments. It feels very much like we are mutually agreeing to let you go.
And he's mutually agreeing to not have to pretend to coach Michael Beasley again.
Right.
Yeah. He deserves... I really think... he deserves better as a coach. They've put a crap roster together and then said, oh, we need you to develop. This is what I don't get. We want you to develop Markieff Morris. By the way, we just got Luis Scola to play in front of him. We want you to develop Kendall Marshall. By the way, we just brought in Goran Dragic. Like, you can't say, give these guys more playing time, develop them on the court, and then bring in better players in front of them. That's a crap roster to have to coach. And he did a pretty good job considering what he has to use.
It's similar to what the model is being used in both Utah and Denver, which is win now, win later, which is develop young players while also wanting to compete right now.
Right.
The problem is, in order to do that, you have to have, what's the word? Oh, yeah, good players.
Yes, that typically is a requirement to be a good team.
And instead, you know, and I do think Goran Dragic is a good player, and he's been, actually, his numbers are very good this year.
Yeah, he's fine, but he's also
there. He's the only player on that team that I'm like.
He's also their best player.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. You don't want Goran Dragic to be your best player.
No, you want him to be like your third or fourth best player.
Yeah.
At best.
Like, of that roster, the only guys I would keep if I were taking over that team, I would keep Dragic, I would keep Dudley, I keep Morris.
PJ Tucker?
Sure. He could stay. Find a bed for him. That's it. I'm looking at this roster. That is the only guy. I'm sad, too, because Luis Scola, over the last 5 years, I guess, has been a phenomenal power forward.
Yeah, he's been good. It's just, I mean, he's like a bonus to your roster. He shouldn't be a focus of your roster.
I don't know. During the Rockets run, he was worthy of being that guy.
And that got them so far.
Well, they had a lot of things go bad, though.
That's true.
You know, if Yao, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
If Yao, but Yao, so.
I still blame Steve Francis. No, that's not true. I blame Kelvin Cato.
I blame Tracy McGrady. You know, but it was clear the last year was not. And this is funny because last year everyone wanted to throw everything out because it was the lockout. And my problem with that is I was like, look, some of this stuff is going to turn out to be true. Some of it's going to be crap. But that doesn't mean that all of it's crap. Some of the stuff is going to turn out to be true. And it very much looks like Luis Scola's slide last year was not because of the lockout. It was because he's at that point.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's played a lot of basketball over the last couple of years with international duties.
Yep.
I wonder if an off-season – I mean, he's getting up there in age, but I wonder if one good off-season he could have a bounce-back year next season.
Oh, I think he can have a bounce-back year, but the difference was I just think that you have to accept that there is a slide right now. Like, it doesn't mean he won't be good in the future, but –
yeah, it is still funny to me that – I mean, he's obviously internationally is an incredible player. And when you make him the focus of a national team, like he's just absurd. Like, he's so talented. And it is funny when he does break out in random NBA games or when he does break out in the Olympic tournament or FIBA tournaments, people are like, wow, Luis Scola is really good. And it's like, yeah, he's been doing this for like 20 years.
Right. So Lindsey Harris takes over.
Yeah. I mean, He was a good veteran, right? Like, good veteran presence on many teams. He might be a good
coach. We know nothing to say about this.
Yeah, we know absolutely nothing. Like, and we probably won't know enough. From the reports right after Gentry was fired, it seemed like Hunter was the guy they've wanted to groom.
Yeah.
But now you're not grooming him. You're just kind of throwing him into the fire And that's going to take patience on their part to realize, like, we need to give this guy a couple of years to figure it out. And I don't trust Robert Sarver to do that.
Scola's on the books for two more seasons at 4.8 per.
That's not bad.
It's not great.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they signed a guy to a 3-year, $18 million contract.
Is Beasley in Bargnani territory where if anybody's willing to take him, you give him?
Oh, if anyone's willing to take him, yeah, you absolutely give him.
What if it's Bargnani? What if it's for Bargnani?
Then I think the world explodes.
They could just trade crap.
No, there's no way that Michael Beasley is untouchable in any scenario.
I don't think he's untouchable, but I'm just wondering if it's like, if somebody's like, okay, I'll give you this role, I'll give you, you know, I'm trying to think, I'll give you Jason Collins and a second round pick.
Yeah, I mean, you get rid of the financial obligation. It's not like he's adding anything to your team.
Yep, I agree. Let's talk about Doc.
Yeah, let's talk about
him. Did you see what happened last night?
I did not.
So, I'm watching the Pistons-Celtics game last night from the arena. I was at a crazy Nuggets.
That was a fun game.
Nuggets-Thunder game. We should talk about that. And I look at him like, the Pistons are up 10? That's weird. Okay, oh, they tied it. Oh, all right. So the Celtics have gotten it. Oh, they're down 7. Oh, they're down 15. Oh, my God, they're down 20 points, the Pistons. And then after the game, Doc Rivers just goes ballistic.
Yeah.
And I'm posting a video of it shortly. He's, you know, he says, we got to get this fixed or we got to, quote, get some guys out of here.
Yeah.
I'm at the point where I keep waiting and I'm like, okay, I'm like Charlie Brown with Lucy with the football. I'm like, I really don't want to believe that they're really in the position where, okay, it's over and they're going to blow it up and changes have to be made. Because I've been there so often. But they were supposed to get fixed after Bradley. They won that 3-game winning streak. And I was like, okay, here. Now they're good. Okay.
Well, right. But, all right. They're supposed to get fixed when a guy comes back. It takes time to work guys back in.
But their problems that they're talking about are not with those guys.
Right. I mean, this is clearly not the team they set out to be, but they're still a playoff team. So they're not going to blow up a team and not make the playoffs.
Do you think they can they bring in a big addition?
I mean,
not even a big addition in terms of one guy. I'm talking about a big addition in terms of a package.
Yeah, I think they have enough tradable pieces.
Yeah, because like I feel like Jason Terry's one where you could actually probably move him and get something good for him.
For sure. I think you can move him. I think you can move Courtney Lee. I think you can move Sullinger or Bradley. Like, yeah, you can move pieces. I don't know that you're going to get a lot for them, but you can move pieces to bring in other guys, another mix. But that's the thing. That's still going to take time to work guys into the system and into familiarity with the teammates.
So what do you think they should just stand pat and hope and just have faith?
Well, I think they should stand pat and just realize, like, what the situation is. Like, just be realistic about what they are. Like, they're a playoff team and nothing more.
Oh. So you're basically saying, like, don't try and contend for a title because it's just not going to happen.
Well, I'm saying that there's nothing they can do to contend for a title. Mm. They can't match the Miami Heat. Who are they going to bring in that is going to get them to match the Miami Heat? There's nothing. You're not trading Garnett. They always end up thinking about trading Rondo, but at this point, you're not trading Rondo. Pierce is probably untradeable. You can move small pieces around, but you're not going to bring, like, are they going to go out and get, you know, Dwight Howard or Tyson Chandler? Like, they're not going to get anybody that is going to make them a contender. They can play better, and they can play better within what they have right now. And be a second round team, maybe even be a conference finals team against, you know, depending on what the matchups are and who's healthy and who's not. But they're not going to beat the Heat. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Big slate of games today, MLK Day.
Yes, excellent. Excellent slate of games all day long. It's like 12 hours of basketball.
And this will be posted after Pacers Grizzlies has already started.
Yes.
So we should talk about, Knicks Nets, what, 4 now?
Yeah, this is the 4th game. Maybe final game. Maybe they'll play in the playoffs. We don't know yet.
That'd be so good. That'd be so good.
Would it?
It would be.
It would be a nightmare.
Why?
Because, like, it would be the overselling of two teams. Like, it would just be a media nightmare for me.
That'd be terrific. I would love it. I think it'd be so much fun because I can't. people would care about it who typically don't. So it'd be,
sure.
I think it'd be really interesting.
Sure.
I want to see Lopez versus Chandler today.
That'll be fun. I got a post up on CBS Sports. 5 things to watch. You and I did this, and the thing I wrote about the Brooklyn New York game is three-point shooting. The Nets cannot stop above the break threes. They're the worst in the league, and the Knicks are the best in the league at getting those. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the perimeter defense is tonight, or today, this afternoon.
You know, LeBron and KD have both had massive games this week.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see if Carmelo does something to get himself back on the map for MVP, because based on awards today, I pretty much said it's LeBron and KD, and then there's a gap, and then it's Melo and CP3.
Yeah, I think, you know, people freak out about this, and I think it's just an oversaturation of the market kind of thing, but I think 2 to 3 weeks ago, you had a legitimate case for Carmelo meaning as much to his team in terms of value as the other two did to their teams.
Yep.
But then he was fasting and playing horrible. Maybe they were related, maybe they weren't, but he fell off too much to where it's now strictly a two-man race. Like, you can't make that. Well, you could argue Chris Paul's up there.
Yeah. You can make the argument for him, which is why they're included in the fourth in baseline awards, and like Tim Duncan's not.
Yeah.
But there is a gap.
There's a definite gap.
So, Clippers, Warriors.
This one, if...
No Curry,
for sure?
Not for sure, but unlikely.
Ugh, God, I wish he was healthy and played. How many times have I said that in his career already? Without Curry, it's just, you know, it's possible. Like, teams band together and do this. And it's a weird, it's a 1 p.m. game local time in Oakland. That's weird.
On a Monday.
They're playing lunch hour pickup hoops.
That's exactly what they're doing. And you know who you want to take in that situation.
You always want to take the lawyers? The attorneys? The hedge fund managers?
You want to take Jamal Crawford, because he's the kind of guy that shows up at 12 o'clock on a Monday and just destroys everyone.
Oh, he probably like goes to like LA Fitness or Gold's Gym or something in LA. Just random lunch hours for pickup hoops.
We should do a video series, Jamal Crawford Destroys Your Lunch Hour.
Oh my God, that would be so good.
Wouldn't that be good?
I would love to watch him just destroy ordinary people at basketball.
You're such a sadist.
I'd pay a lot of money. He's got a handle. That guy can dribble.
Spurs, Sixers. I don't care about Spurs, Sixers at all.
No, don't pretend.
I shouldn't care about Lakers, Bulls.
You've got to. Nationally televised game.
The Lakers were so bad yesterday.
They were
so bad.
That was...
Pau Gasol, in the right block, went middle and missed a hook shot off the backboard. Nothing else left.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
He actually had, I mean, Johnson,
it was a huge moment. They had a chance to get back in the game, and Pau Gasol tried blocking out Amir Johnson with his, like, fingers.
Hey, we've all seen Kill Bill 2. You could try to build up that finger strength. I get it. He's just testing it out.
That was not the five-point palm touch-to-death thing. That was not that.
He was not breaking through a coffin with that.
No, he was not breaking through a coffin with that. He was not breaking through yogurt with that.
No.
Powell looks terrible. Dwight's a mess emotionally.
No, I didn't think Powell looked terrible.
What? I mean, I know everyone's like 25-5. That fourth quarter, his defense was just
he was
awful.
He was atrocious to end the game. I thought he was really good in the first three quarters.
Oh, so he should have saved some energy. So maybe he shouldn't have started. Maybe he should come off the bench instead of whining and making D'Antoni have to start him.
Well, he'd make $19 million. That's starter money.
Yet the Bulls are only favored by one tonight.
Yeah, they still.
This is why I don't. I'm really worried because I'm like, wait, back to back road game for LA. They're in the middle of another losing streak. They're coming apart emotionally. They're playing a Bulls team as tough as nails. Nationally televised game, East Coast road trip, and the Bulls are only favored by one. What does Vegas know?
That is scary. That's kind of terrifying. I'm going to take the Lakers.
I'm waiting for...
I'm taking the Lakers.
And Joakim Noah are out indefinitely with malaria.
Yeah, I'm taking the Lakers. That line scares me.
It scares the crap out of me. I saw that and was like, wait, what?
How does Kobe historically do on MLK Day? Is he like a 55 career average or something?
They're 5-13 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, they're not good.
They're 5-13 on the road.
Well, they're only 12-10 at home.
I looked this up last night. They have to go 24-18 for the rest of the season to go 500.
That's doable.
Yeah, but that's amazing that you have to go 6 games over 500 for the rest of the season just to make 500. So, I know it's productive. It's like they're 6 under .500 right now. I get that, but still.
So do the Sixers. It's a lot of sixes.
That's a lot of sixes. Is the Tibbs Noah thing anything to be worried about, or is it just normal stuff?
Nah, I doubt it. It's probably frustration. It's probably, I mean, Tibbs is kind of a hard nosed guy. Not that Noah isn't, but you know, every once in a while you gotta.
Sorry, did you just say Tibbs is kind of a hard nosed guy?
Yeah, he's a little rough around the edges. He gargles gravel. You know, from time to time, you're gonna make a point about stuff. You're gonna leave a guy out for a quarter. It's good. I think it's good for him. I think that team is fine. I think Noah is smart enough to know exactly like the situation.
I got so sick of the Rose narrative 2 years ago, but I was thinking about this all weekend. I am so excited for him to come back.
Zach, I'm
looking forward to it.
Right now, Zach Randolph just played dodgeball with Lance Stevenson on a ball going out of bounds, and then they slapped five. That was nice. See, this is a great day for basketball.
It's a great day for basketball. All right, thanks, Zach.
All right, thanks, Matt.